At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
I think everyone is struggling to try and figure out, and I think they'll be struggling until we get to court and probably even during motive. I mean, obviously you don't need to prove a motive in court, but juries certainly want to hear that. They want to have some sort of semblance as to why this took place, what drove Koberger, if in fact he did do this, to do this. Where do you think they can go on something like this? We've tried to speculate on that over the last year. Is it jealousy? Is it an incel type thing? And or is it someone who was so fascinated with the world of crime and murder and this and really essentially wanted to get his ticket punched and go on the ride of being a notorious murderer?
I've looked at this quite a bit in the last bunch of weeks because of all these different cases I've been covering. And when looking at serial killers, I did some research, some deeper research on victimization, you know, who's being chosen. Because a lot of these things, because I happened to this other case we were talking beforehand in South Korea, where this murderer, she wanted to kill someone for the experience. She was curious what it was like. Now, granted, that percentage of people that kill out of curiosity is so infinitesimally small because there's other psychological malformations, the brain going on that makes someone do that. But in this case, again, we're looking at the targets, the humans he selected to victimize, and they're always going for, in their own mind, because I don't want to say, I don't want to victim blame them on this at all, but they're going to go for people they perceive as easy targets for them. And as he is scoping his surroundings, as a predator does to its prey, he's looking for targets of opportunity that are easy in his mind for him to victimize. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what it was. They fell across his field of vision, and however that came about, whether it's through social media, whether it's through the bars that they frequent in together in that town, because I think he probably targeted that town. Because as what happens is, and we do this everything in life, you know, if you have something you want to achieve, you start broad and then you narrow down. You create filters to narrow this down. And when a killer and a potential eventual serial killer is filtering on down, they're filtering on down to people they can victimize that, one, are vulnerable enough that they can compromise them and take advantage of them. And the other thing that plays into it a lot of times is, too, is who will miss them. That's why we see a lot of the sex trade people being targeted, because they're less likely to be missed right away. The children, I say children because they were his children, the college kids that he chose on this one, it's tragic because they were that. But I think he chose them because of those criteria. He was filtering on down to what he saw in his field of vision for people he had access to that gave the greatest opportunity for him to take advantage of them.
And does that speak to what we just talked about, it and that South Korean case where this is someone who wanted to go out and murder people? I mean, that seems like that would be a tough sell to a jury as well, just because it's so out of the norm, out of the ordinary in terms of thinking or in terms of any you know, historical cases where somebody just killed for the sake of going and getting that rush. You know, I mean, serial killers do that, but in a case like this, it's just the dynamics are different.
The rush point there, I think, is critical to that you just said, because it'd be interesting to see if they bring this in. Again, we have such a limited optic of what prosecution knows and has, but from what we've seen publicly out there about Koberger, he has a lifetime of reps. There we go, that life arc of knowing, very knowingly, and putting out there in social media that he has issues, that he doesn't physically respond to things, emotionally respond to things, that he's kind of, he knows he's not emotional. And so he's constantly, and this is what serial killers do and people that are committing crimes like this, they're looking for sensations that are going to stimulate them, like, because they just want to be like everyone else. They don't understand why they don't have the same emotional reaction other people do. So they keep escalating to try to get that kind of stimulation. And so in this case, if it was him, he's escalating to the point of, I'm going to kill someone to see if this gives me the rush that I need to feel whole, to feel complete, that compulsion, because it doesn't have the same component as some of the other serial killers do, with a sexual component here, from what we've seen put out there so far. But a lot of those serial killers have a very sexual component to what they do because of fantasization about it. In this case, I think it looks like more of a murder for that emotional exhilaration he gets from that moment. So he's selecting targets based on that. Again, a lot of conjecture on my part, but that's what it kind of gives me the flavor of.
Would Koberger make more sense in terms of motive if he got away with this and committed another murder? Because then you start to have a trend going on. Then you start to have, you know, what we saw in other serial killers, where it is that kind of a rush component. But the fact that he got busted right after his supposed first one, it puts it in kind of a different vacuum.
Yeah, I think it would start, again, if he had gotten away with this, or if he does get away with this, or if it's not him, most likely, you know, he does learn. He's a good student, but not a great student, obviously. But my guess is that he would fixate on the type of targets he was going after, because if they're targets of opportunity students, I think he would go for more isolated instances, probably do better research on them. Maybe shift his target field to sex trafficking type people because of lack of impact societally from it. I don't know, but you're right. I think you'd start seeing a pattern emerge, because if you have two data points, it's better than one.
Yeah.
It's tragic, but I think they're going to be able to draw that his behavior over a period of time and his own incriminating words about why he did the things he did, the behaviors he had in life. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they talk about his drug addiction.
Yeah.
One reason why people do drugs is because they're seeking some sort of stimulation they're not getting from the outside world, as well as coping mechanisms. But in this case, it might be more of a, I need something to feel something. Mm-hmm. And so this might be part of that arc that we see them talk about.
Combined with his writings and such, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, his writings were very, again, if they can confirm what we've seen online, that those writings were actually his at the age of 14 and 15. I remember very early on when the case first broke, I was looking at those and saying, wow, here is a very damaged little boy that knew he was damaged.
Yeah.
And that therein lies the tragedy of it all. He knew he was damaged. It sounds like his parents knew he was damaged. And he went on to damage others.
Yeah. We'll see how this all plays out. It'll be a very interesting year for
it watching. Will be.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.